And now, King Cutler, starring Phyllis King with Ivor Cutler.
Come on up. Stop. Come in quietly. Sit down. You'll have had your tea.
Not big enough. When I was too small to reach, I had a box.
Oh, that's it, is it? Promising, but not very substantial. I think I ought to remind you, Mr. Cutler and Mrs. or Ms. King, the BBC has invested considerable resources in this programme and expects you both to be funny and profound.
I'll take that on board. Phyllis? What's it like outside?
I don't know.
Well, go and have a look and then tell me.
There's no point.
What do you mean?
I can only tell you what I saw. Then when you looked out, you'd be angry with me.
Oh, come on.
Very well. It's raining.
Let me see.
What are you talking about? The sun's shining.
See?
The river bends.
The river bends, the blind men fall in. Where the river bends, the blind men fall in. Where do they come from, the blind men? Why do they all fall in? I don't know, and neither do they. A da ra ra dee da dee ree ree. A da ra ra dee da dee ree ree. I walked round to where the river bends and I fell in. I walked round to where the river bends and I fell in. Where do I come from? Why did I fall in? I don't know. A da ra ra dee da dee ree ree. A da ra ra dee da dee ree ree. We all went back to the bank. And fell in again and 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 again. A da ra ra dee da dee ree ree. A da ra ra dee da dee ree ree.
Well, perhaps we could have something by Miss King now.
I think I might be able to arrange that.
Useful cat. Use the cat, he suggested, when my Hottie could not be found. So I took the cat, filled her with hot water, and tied a bit of string round her neck. Not too tightly. She kept the heat amazingly well. In the morning, she was emptied, plumped up, and put outdoors in the sun.
Thank you, Phyllis. Their favourite. Can I borrow your large pot? Okay, let me empty it down the lavvy. It was just Scotch broth with a piece of flank in it for the family supper. What do you want it for this time? Do you know my yellow shoes? I just can't get into them. They were okay in the summer. I thought if I boiled them they'd get supple. Good idea. Is that your climbing stockings you're wearing? Oh, no wonder they wouldn't fit. Your poor broth. Think nothing of it. I'll give them bean on toast. They'll love it. It's their favourite.
A telephone run. When I look down upon the muddy water, what should I see but the face of my lover? Dearest, dearest, he said, come and pull me out. Oh, dearest sweetheart, I'll drown without a doubt. Do not fear, oh darling one, I will to a telephone run. A watery grave shall not be your fate. I'll go and dial 998.
Is Ivor Cutler here?
Here I am. What do you want?
Ivor Cutler. Oh, fab. Listen, I just won a competition. First prize gets to take you to the pictures.
Oh, that competition. What's on?
Crime and Punishment. It's a hoot.
You're on. Wait outside till I'm done.
Well, don't hang about. I've got a couple of back seats and I don't want to miss the last house. See you soon, Ivor.
Okay, kiddo.
Some of us, Mr. Cutler, have found time to grow up.
I've been busy. Beside the fish. A wounded wasp crawled up a filing clerk's suit to sting him under the chin where it met the neck in a crease when your head's bent.
Yah!
I've been stung under the neck, he screamed, and made straight for the director's canteen, where they put real lemon in the tea, if you asked, or beside the fish, without asking. As he dabbed his sting with lemon, his eye caught the board of directors.
"Come over here," Przewalski called the chief. "Where should we export our purple upswept spectacle frames with diamante inserts?"
"China," replied Przewalski, like lightning, remembering the saucer holding the anti-alkaline antidote.
"There you are, gentlemen," said the chief, dismissing the trembling clerk with a benevolent smile, but a perfunctory nod. "Poles are intuitive beyond belief."
"Here is a man who is known to you as an artist, but to me, his greatest talent is as a poet. He has an immaculate ear. Glenn Baxter."
"Hello, Ivor."
"Glenn."
"Would you mind if I just move this tea cake over a few inches? It seems to be blocking the light. There. That's better. I'm finding it easier to breathe already. Most people have had the experience of being mistaken for someone else. I have experienced a rather perturbing variant on this theme. I have been mistaken for myself. About 3 or 4 years ago, I attended a party at the house of a BBC television director. The guest of honour was Salman Rushdie, who had just won the Booker Prize for his novel Midnight's Children. I was ushered into the room where Mr. Rushdie was being besieged by a whole host of people, anxious to learn how it felt to be a winner. My name was announced. The mob turned briefly to scrutinise the intruder, then resumed their jostling. I left the room and headed straight for the Twiglets. About an hour later, I was making my way across a room full of merrymakers when a voice called out, "Glenn Baxter!" I turned and recognised a face from the mob looking straight at me. "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were Glenn Baxter," said the man. "Don't worry," I replied. "It happens all the time."
Thank you, Glenn. Phyllis. I'd like to pinch you, darling.
Flat or gloss?
Hey, Glenn, are you interested in African drum rhythms?
Absolutely not, Ivor.
Then in that case, listen to this. Crossing rhythms. Provide yourself with two surfaces to tap on. A chair, a table, a spoon on the table, whatever is to hand. It is useful that the two sounds do not sound the same. Now, take your pen and paper and write the numbers 1 to 6. Now write the numbers 1 to 6 directly below. 1 below 1, 2 below 2, etc. Now, in the top line, ring numbers 1 and 4. On the bottom line, ring numbers 1, 3, and 5. The ring numbers are the beats. The right hand beats 1 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The left hand beats 1, 3, and 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you beat them together, you will get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3. Let's try together. First the right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now the left hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now together, slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3. Next week, we'll learn 4 against 3 beats. Oh, if you're finding it hard to keep time, relax your jaw, let it hang, then your shoulders and your arms.
Well, a charmingly primitive, if rather naive, contribution, reminiscent perhaps of a rhythm and movement schools programme for the under-8s, but acceptable.
Phyllis. Coming to the zoo today.
today. Sue. Me. With you. The wasted call. The telephone is ringing, said Ronald, with his mouth full of potato. I know, said Elsie. Peas spilled off her fork as she raised it to her mouth. Aren't you going to answer it, then? Asked Ronald. No. Elsie scattered the spilt peas from her lap. It's still ringing, said Ronald. Then you answer it, replied Elsie sweetly. It's not for me, said Ronald. And it's not for me, said Elsie. Then it must be ringing for someone else. Exactly. That's why I'm not answering it. But there's no one else here, said Ronald. Right again, said Elsie. That's why I'm not answering. It may be someone wanting something. What could they be wanting? Asked Elsie, pushing away her empty plate. They may want to know if we're in. Well, of course we're in. I'm here, and you're there. Yes, I know that, but they don't. And you think I'm going to get up just to tell them that? She helped herself to sago pudding. If we don't answer it, they'll think we're out. Absurd, isn't it? We couldn't be more in. Pass the cream, Ronald. I wish it would stop ringing, he said. I think I'll answer it and tell them that we're not out. Silly. If you answer it, they'll know that anyway, won't they? Yes, I suppose you're right. Still, I could tell them that there is no one else here that's not out. And if you don't answer it, they'll know that as well. I'll answer it anyway, just to find out who wanted to know. Ronald put down his knife and fork and rose from the table. Telephone stopped ringing now, dear. Yes, I can hear that, said Ronald crossly. You mean you can't hear it, corrected Elsie. Ronald sat. Well, that's that, he said. That's what? Questioned Elsie. That's what happens when people telephone just to find out if a person is in or out. Serves them right. If we're in, we're in. And if we're out, it's a wasted call. You are a logical woman, Elsie. Pass the cream, will you? I can't pass the cream, but I'll pass you the jug. It's empty, said Ronald. I know that, said Elsie. I finished it. That's why I passed you the jug. What's the good of a jug without cream? Asked Ronald with exasperation. None at all. But better a jug without cream than no cream without a jug. I think I'd rather have no cream with no jug than have no cream with a jug. Well, you can't have everything, Ronnie. There goes the telephone again, Elsie. Yes, let's just ignore it this time.
I'll put the kettle on in a wee minute, but first.
Glasgow, Glasgow, where are you? 44 from Edinburgh.
Cover the melon with your cap, whispered Father, as the heads of our relations appeared at the top of the stairs, nostrils twitching, lips in a loose, wet smile, throbbing salivary glands, moved to the table and draped their soft buttocks over our worn chairs. We stood and watched. Ivor, said Father in a quiet tone, fetch some leaves off the tree. I took a large white plate off the shelf and slipped downstairs. As I reached and tugged off the big, juicy chestnut leaves, my body trembled with pleasure. Father was taking a stand. I returned with a full plate and Annie Lurie on my tongue. "Here you are, folks," said Father, taking the plate and slapping it down before them. The smiles faded.
"I've never been so insulted," screamed Auntie Rose.
"Let's get out of here," rasped Uncle Sam. "You've not heard the last of this."
They rose and stamped down the stairs, slamming the front door. I stood at the window to see them off. Father embraced me.
"Come on, Ivor," he chuckled,
and we ate up the melon, then went off to see Rangers versus Celtic and chew Wrigley's PK. Mother's white face greeted us on our return. She said nothing, but when I went to bed, oh boy!
"Glasgow, Glasgow, where are you? 84 from Stranraer."
I quite enjoyed that.
Famous races of the world. The three-legged race. The origins of this race lie in ancient Greece, in Athens. On Saturday afternoons, a man would bring two slaves to the temple, bind their inside legs together, then bind their outside legs to a pillar on either side, in case they tried to run away. Another man would tie his two slaves in a like fashion, and bets would be placed. Then a temple maiden would throw a hypotenuse into the sky. When it landed, the race began. The winners were given an obol each. The Romans brought the race to Britain, substituting trees for pillars. When the Romans left, village elders took on the role of pillars. It was not until the 20th century, when women got the vote and freedom raised its ugly face, that the pillar idea fell into desuetude, and people felt that they had the right to run across fields and over the hedge if they so chose.
The other side.
Hee-haw. A skinny donkey sees a bray for the first time. "Well, I'll be damned," she brays, and sits down and invents bray, the first alphabet for asses. It consists of one letter, bray, and is made by pushing your hoof through the paper. She is now working on her first novel.
Uneventful day. An uneventful day. No beauty touched my eyes. I didn't gaze on blossomed boughs against March skies, nor feel the warmth of winter sun, nor even talk to anyone. But late that evening, as I sat reading, I heard a daffodil break its skin.
I should enjoy your participation in the trumpet part of the chorus of this song. And to give you an idea, I'll sing the chorus and repeat it on the trumpet, and then we can let you have a shot.
Moon, moon, sing to the moon, take your trumpet and play a tune. Da 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 da.
I'm sure you can manage that. Let's have a shot.
Moon, moon, sing to the moon, take your trumpet and play a tune. Da 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 da.
That was lovely. Now let's get on with it. You get four shots. Oh, the title of the song is an old Lowland Scots greeting, Jump in the Clyde.
Moon, moon, sing to the moon, take your trumpet and play a tune. Da 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 da. Walking along the horny soil, trumpet by his side, ha ha. Picking at the brass till the clean shines out, makes his lips go wide. Moon, moon, sing to the moon, take your trumpet and play a tune. Da 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 da. The moon is black and green tonight, the surface pitted and worn. Although I'm born in Scotland, I feel that I am foreign. Bum, bum, bum. Moon, moon, sing to the moon, take your trumpet and play a tune. Da, 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 da. Found a cave and made a fire, boiled a piece of toast. Jump in the Clyde and row like mad, I'll meet you at the coast. Moon, moon, sing to the moon, take your trumpet and play a tune. Da 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 da.
Oh, your trumpets were lovely.
That's it, girls.
That was King Cutler, with Glenn Baxter, Phyllis King, who wrote and sang her own songs, poems and stories, and Ivor Cutler, who was solely responsible for his contribution. Produced by Neil Cargill.
Staying here tonight?
Uh-uh.
Why not?
I've got to feed the hens tomorrow, first thing.